Good evening, y'all. Welcome to the Homeless at Large podcast. This is Roy Sterling Child along with my co-host,
Anthony Potter.
And today is January 26th, 2022. Was you going to say something, Anthony?
Help us or leave us alone, hashtag.
Yes, help us or leave us alone. So I'm going to put this mic somewhere where we can both... I think be heard. I want to clip it somewhere where you can be heard as well. So let's see. Can you be heard from right here? Let's see if we pick you up right here. Go ahead and say something, Anthony.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Not really heard there. How about there?
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, I think you're heard there. So today I want to talk. We were talking last night about some stuff and I thought it was really interesting what we talked about, and I believe it was something about people who have incomes and payees, right?
Right.
So what is it, my thing is, with this SSI thing is, to me it was always a based on needs program, and some of these people have payees, and they're out on the streets doing drugs. Why? Why should they be out on the streets doing drugs if they have a payee?
If they're using drugs, that's one reason why they have a pay is because they're not using the money responsibly.
Well, right, and but see, that's the thing, though. If they have a pay and they're still using drugs, how does that stop them?
It's not going to. The payees is supposed to be making sure they use the money responsibly, and if they're giving it to them to where they use dope, then the payee is being irresponsible and involved with drug use.
Right. So my thing is...
So then they're both committing a crime.
I can be heard over everything, so you can put that on your shirt. Put it on your shirt. So I can be heard. I got a loud voice. Your voice is a little more silent than mine is, so we'll try it that way and see if you can be heard better. Because you weren't really coming across very well. Go ahead and try now.
Testing, testing.
All right, you're better now. So now, this pay thing, you know, Project Home, if they're not doing their jobs, then what good are they doing these people?
Then that's why they're going to be going out of business soon.
I mean, well, but how do we hold them accountable if they're a privatized corporation?
They're a non-profit.
Right, and they should be held accountable for not helping these people, correct?
Right.
Okay.
So your idea is switching that whole thing from them doing it to the government just doing it. And then the government is eligible to be required or to be responsible and held accountable through their HR process and through city council.
Well, I don't necessarily think it's the government. I think that the city should take over the payee service and make everybody that works in the payee a city employee. Because then they would have to answer to the city manager as to why they're not doing their job, correct?
Correct.
All right. So if people are homeless to have a check, are homeless, and they're not being, their needs not being met, then that payee would have to answer to the city.
What do you think of what they have in like Amsterdam, where they have these red flag areas where that are usually like a certain kind of park or rest area, where that's the only place where you're allowed to do any dope you want to. But if you fall out, nobody's required to call authorities. So you're kind of, they won't arrest you if you're in those areas. You can use it as you see fit, but it's, you fall out.
I think that's a rather dangerous assertion, really. I think it's dangerous, very dangerous. It leaves too much danger.
Because all the people that use drugs say they should be allowed to have a place where they can do the drugs.
Well, I think that if you do it in your own house, I think that's your business. I think if you're in private, that's your business. But if you're out in public, then, you know, you should abide by public laws. But in your own house, I don't believe anybody should be worried about what you're doing in your house. How do you feel about that? And how would you feel like if, say like a pay service, maybe hire people to outreach?
Because with the pay service, the way they're supposed to work to hold people accountable is if I'm on disability and they're in my pay service, I call them up and say, hey, I need new shoes.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to either make the purchase for me or make sure that I have money order so I can or a check written so I can go buy the shoes. If I just tell them, hey, I need $60, they're supposed to ask, well, what do you need $60 for? Because we can't just give you money because you want money.
Well, and that's my whole
point.
We
need to know how you're spending it.
That's my whole point, is that this Project Home, if like 90% of their clients are homeless. They're sitting out on the sidewalk in front of coke doing drugs. And to me, that's part of the homeless problem.
And when Lewis Arthur was running GOP, he actually became the pay for people that were at VOP.
Right. And that, but you see, there was a whole bunch of other stuff behind
it. And that was to combat what they were doing with, if you didn't like what that home project was, Project Home was doing, then you could have Lewis Arthur be your payee, and he would deal with you.
Yeah.
But I never heard from anybody whether they liked Lewis Arthur as a payee, or if they respected him as a payee, or if there was any difference between him and Project Home besides the fact that he wasn't taking money to be people's payee. He was just doing it so that they could get it or have the livelihood that they want to have.
So let me ask you a question, Mr. Potter. What would you think if I ran for public office?
What would you do if you ran for public office? What promises are you making, or what goals are you setting?
The number one thing was dealing with homelessness. Number one, I would, number one, decrease homelessness.
How?
Because I would create an accountability system on the people that are supposed to be helping those homeless people. So number one, it would be the accountability. I would bring accountability to everything the government here in Tucson does. I would also deprivatize shelter systems. I would take it from a private-ran organization to a city-ran. The reason being is, like Salvation Army killing Crosby, taking his nitro from him, there has to be accountability. They can't do nothing about that because it's their rules. So there's no accountability to it.
Now they don't do that.
Right, because I made a scene about it.
You made a scene, I made an issue about it.
I mean, there was a big scene I made about that at City Hall right near Christmas. And I mentioned it to the CEO of Salvation Army, or the guy, the director of it, and he started laughing and cutting up a few minutes later, and I basically went off because of it. And now they are not allowed to take their life-saving medication, which is great. I love that. I think that was one of the biggest moves we could have made, and it really helped out as far as, what's going on. So understand this, that when I decide to make a move, I'm going to make it a move. And I'll bet you I win, because I generally don't, I'm not used to losing very much. Because I ain't got much to lose. I mean, you see my humble living, right?
Right.
I don't have much to lose. Everything I have to lose is gone before they get here.
So tell me this. There's a government organization called Section 8, which houses people
yes.
with disabilities and people that are low income.
Yes.
What outreach do you see them doing, and what would you change?
Well, the number one thing I would change is that I would stop worrying about people who we can't find and start worrying about people who we can find. Like all these people with Project Home. I would go to Project Home and find out what percentage of their people are homeless and house them right away in city housing. Done. I would put their PD right there in the same building, in the basement, along with the caseworker per floor. Each caseworker has a floor. There's 30 rooms on a floor. Say each caseworker, there's two caseworkers per floor, or maybe three. To where it divides down to where each caseworker has 7 clients, 1 per day, that they go out and get their groceries, get their hygiene supplies for the week, and brings them a weekly allowance. That cuts out all the drug use. If they do it on their weekly allowance, that's their business. That's their business. As long as their needs are met, and they're doing their needs are met, and they're living right, let them do what they want with their little weekly allowance of $10, $15. So what? But the fact is, there has to be somebody that keeps everybody out that wants to take advantage of them people. Because a lot of these drug dealers out here just take advantage of the homeless, especially the ones with income. They take advantage of them. Do you agree?
I think they do.
Mm-hmm. They get them in debt.
Like all these places, like La Frontera, Cope, Kodak, Hope, that is 85% of their clients are on the streets.
And it's kind of weird, isn't it?
And they're getting paid to house them, to provide them with medicine, to provide them with therapeutic services.
And housing. So the number one, the next thing I would do is to eliminate some of these so-called services.
Well,
okay. I think that Tucson has spent way too much money
Tell
on
me
services.
This. How many, if you ran for office, how many times do I have to do a spadag before I'm housed?
Well, first of all, the spadat would be changed. The qualifying factors would be asked of, do you have income? Are you on SSI or SSDI? And do you have a payee if you are on either one of those government assistance programs? If you have a payee, you're qualified for housing. And your housing is first. Because those are the people you want in housing, the ones with incomes. They can pay rent. The ones without incomes, you make temporary shelters that are longer than 90 days. You give them 1 year in a shelter, make them work as to get income of some sort, and then we work from there.
On average, if 90 days doesn't work, on average, what number does should it'd be the amount
within
of time.
1 year, I could guarantee within 1 year, homelessness in this city would be cut in half.
So if you've said before that you believe that the city should be running a shelter or one of these tiny home sites or organization that helps do something. I'm wondering if you ran for office, if you're gonna have Section 8 do outreach, the questions on the spadat are gonna be shorter and
less
only
intrusive.
Less intrusive, only happening once.
Yeah. Once a year.
And if you got income, you go to the top of the list.
Once a year for that, because once a year
and
I can get once
we,
a year.
And if we did that and we started you out with 5 people, you're going to have those 5 people where within a year?
Well, the first thing is, so there's going to be a process, because the number one thing is Number one, we need to eliminate some of the expenses. So they built so many services here in Tucson that they literally are broke funding these services.
And then they're all competing for the same grant money.
And you know what? None of them services are building housing. None of them.
But they're employing a lot of people.
Right. But the fact is, if you take those people from some of those services and you redirect them to one service, like Project Home, as outreach. So you get a building together, right? Like Tucson House. Get a building just like that. And you put services in the basement. And the people enlisted in that service, like say La Frontera runs the building. Okay? And it's city ran building, but La Frontera, it's La Frontera clients. Right?
Right.
Okay. Now La Frontera designates the payee for that person. They designate an outreach worker for each floor. And that outreach worker is responsible for person a day on that floor. Right? And then they get a weekly allowance. So you assign different caseworkers for different floors. That caseworker has, so that essentially eliminates the need for the rest of these services. Now, you get one service for the people who don't have incomes. They go out and, number one, I would eliminate people who decide whether they want to help someone based on if they know them or not, or if they like them or not, or if they're hard to deal with or not. Because I was a very outspoken person. And I'm a pretty hard person to deal with because I'm sick of being pushed around. That's flat done. Just like that. I'm tired of being pushed around. I've been bullied my whole fucking life and I'm done with it. It's time to stop it. Right? So the first thing I would do is anybody that has their own agenda or has done some kind of service to someone because they didn't like them and didn't help them, they would be gone. They'd be fired. And somebody who really cared, who would be neutral about their opinions about someone, would be brought in. That would create an atmosphere of everybody that needs it or wants help gets help. Number two, I would open up the Constitution and say that everybody has liberty and that's lifestyle of choice. So if someone wants to live in a tent, there would be a designated grounds for that. You can go out and live in a tent.
Right now, what you can do is if you want to live in a tent, you can actually go pop up a tent in a trailer park and rent it. Up to 30% of a trailer park is allowed to be a campsite.
Well, but what trailer park do you know that allows that?
I would say there's quite a few that allow it. It's just the cost on someone who's homeless that seems to be the problem.
Well, and you know, that's another thing is, that's why I've been backing the homing project with Dr. Chris Olson.
Like, should $150 rent fee go in a trailer park go to someone who's just going to be camping out, or should that should that price be lower?
Well, I think that number one, we have to deal with inflation in the U.S. I think inflation is a nationwide problem.
Because of the rise of minimum wage, the cost of housing, cost of living.
Well, the inflation is due to incompetence. See, our government spends too much money on dumb shit. Number one of the country's supplies and natural resources. We have our own. We don't need nobody else's. We shouldn't be buying somebody else's while we have our own. That's just giving other countries our money. That's what's causing energy bills to go up. That's why gas prices went up. That's why all these prices go up. Next, as for running for office, if I took public office, I would look to an active bill that deals with shoplifting. The bill would basically implement a chain gang so that if you get caught shoplifting, for every dollar amount you stole, you do a month on a chain gang. By the time your time on that chain gang is up, oh, by the way, if you don't work on the chain gang, if you don't go out and work that day, you eat bread and water for dinner.
and lunch.
If you work, you get your food, because people, America is a based on work program, right? Even the good Lord said, you will work for a living, to live. So, unless you're highly disabled, you work. So, if you shoplift, if you're able to shoplift, you can go out on the chain gang and work. And by the time you leave that program, there will be somebody there to give you a job. As in, they bring you an application, you fill it out, and they say they're interested in hiring you, and when you get out, you'll have a job. They let the jail know they're interested in hiring you. Now the jail works to where you can work, have a work release as chain gang. That way, as your work goes on, you can end up saving money, because the jail takes your check, puts in a trust fund for when you get out, you can find housing. That ends shoplifting, because I'll guarantee you after 7 months on the chain gang, they're definitely not going to want to shoplift again. Right?
Right.
I definitely wouldn't. Specifically, I had a job when I got out, and I was going to go to work.
What do you think's the major reason why people are shoplifting?
No consequence. There's no consequence for it. They take these people, mainly it's homeless doing. And the reason being is, they take these people to jail, they fill them full of bologna sandwiches, feed them, give them 3 hots and a cot. It's vacation. It's vacation from normal life of being on the streets and living a hard life.
How many are shoplifting just because of the fact that the cost Dubai is too high, or
well,
they can't afford
it. But that's
it.
The thing. Here's the thing. If people want something, I don't steal to get what I get. I don't. I never have. I've always gotten what I have legally. I used to shoplift, but I found out what it does and how it affects everyone else around me and more. See, the way the thing works, and I got explained to it by a person who works for like a convenience store, they have a thing that does an inventory on their items, right? And so somebody steals one of those items and it's still known to be in the store. Now that item is clocked in the store, so when they bring stock, they don't bring as much as they should because they didn't count for the one that was shoplifting or the 10 that was shoplifting. So now the store had to raise their prices because they had to make up for what was shoplifted, and now they don't have it. So they had to repurchase it and say, oh, well, now we got to purchase 7 more than we planned because there's some missing out of our inventory. So that raises prices. Now, a lot of people think these stores have insurance. The insurance does not cover a shoplift of a $10 six-pack of beer. It doesn't cover that. It covers loss, total loss, like somebody driving through the window of a Circle K, or a natural storm hits, or, and it covers large loss. It doesn't cover shoplifters. That would take way too much out of insurance companies. So I believe that what needs to be done is that we need to have a consequence for shoplifting, because that causes a lot of poverty. People shoplifting, there's no fucking consequence for it. It's like a holiday. That would be the number one thing on the agenda, to deal with shoplifting.
Well, one of the consequences is if you get caught shoplifting, no retailer is going to hire you.
Okay, but the fact so, is, what good is that doing that shoplifter?
Well, it's keeping them unemployed.
There you go. Not only that.
Which means that they, by them shoplifting, they can't get a job in retail, which means that they're required, that they're going to be on the government dole for the rest of their life.
And that's the problem, see? So here's the deal. If there's a consequence for shoplifting, whereas it becomes, say, a felony, and you say, take $10, and you have to do a month for every dollar amount you serve. So you do 10 months on the chain gang. Now, if you do it again, your time doubles. So now it's 2 months for every dollar amount you stole, then 4 months, then 6 months, then 8 months, on down the line.
And then there's the consequences, like that one guy on the south side, the vet in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
How he shoplifted and the cop put 9 in his back.
We would be dealing with that too, because I believe there has to be some police accountability. Number one, I would take away qualified immunity.
Yeah.
To the law. Nobody's above the law. Nobody. If you're a police officer and you're breaking the law, I have a problem with that. That makes you a hypocrite. A police officer should be an outstanding model citizen. They shouldn't be breaking the law. If they're parked illegally, not investigating an emergency, they can lose their job. They should be fired. If they're going to enforce the law, they should obey the law, including on duty. Unless their lights are on and they're going to an emergency call, they should obey the law. They should drive the same speed as everyone else is told to drive. They turn on their lights, now they're in an emergency vehicle, people need to pull over, they can drive a little bit faster. But I would crack down on police that break the law, like speeding, like turning on their lights to get through a red light, like all that stuff. I would crack down on that. The next thing is homelessness. Some of these services, the money used to pay these services, would go to build housing. It would go for housing. City-funded housing. That way, we have housing to put people in. We're not going out breaking our promise telling people we're going to get you housing and not doing it. That would stop people lying. Now there is city-funded housing for the low income, correct?
Yeah.
So city by city, each city takes over the fight to end the suffering behind homelessness. It makes it easier on the feds. So what happens now is we have an accountability system. Everything's through a city. The city gets the grant to open up housing. The city gets the grant to build housing. Now they build city-funded housing.
Right.
Then they put a payee. If they have SSI, they put all these SSI people in one place to have payees. They go to the payee, they take over the payee service, hire a certified accountant. The accountant takes care of that building. They have an outreach team that goes floor to floor, and however they want to do it, but it's all city employees. That way they're accountable for everything they do. They're accountable for how they treat people. And there's a code of conduct. That ends homelessness right there. Unless they want to be. And then you have a specific land for that where there are off-duty police officers that patrol it. Simple as that. Simple as that. If you're inside your tent, it's your business. If you're outside your tent, it's everybody's business. Simple. Now, let's talk about work. People need work. So if I ran for public office, my fight would be to acknowledge Americans who want to work but can't find a job.
Well, tell me this. If the government's not going to help me because I'm 30-something, white, without children, and with no disability, should I have to go out of my way to look for work, or if I'm required to work, should it be given?
Well, I think that work is something that shouldn't be denied. If somebody goes out and fills out a job application, I don't care if you're homeless, I don't care if you have a house or not, I don't think work should be denied. If you want to work, they should hire you. Okay? That's number one. Number two, I believe that, in order to end homelessness or houselessness, first, you have to end the discrimination behind it. You have to end the discrimination of the houseless community. That's the way that works. Because you can't end something you didn't begin. You can't end something you didn't start yourself. And so, houselessness has been around for centuries. And there are always those people who choose to be out there. And I believe that they should have a spot where it's okay to be out there. It's okay. You don't have to live in a house if you don't want to. I believe that, so to end the discrimination behind it would be to end people's looking at it so hard. I think that people need to learn that there's always going to be somebody out there, and whether you think they're suffering or not, maybe they're not. Because I, until all the crap started with Safe Park, I never suffered on the streets. I wasn't miserable. I was actually quite happy out there.
Did you ever sleep at Safe Park?
Once, and I didn't like it. It brought too much bad noise. I just think that the whole thing was bad. So the next thing is that I believe that any person in Tucson should qualify for a job. And if they can work, they should work. I would, number one, take away all the discrimination. I would make it illegal to discriminate on a person just because they have no address. Because the first step to getting on your feet is to have a job or an income. If they can't look for a job because they don't have an address, that doesn't help, right? That's just one setback right after another. It creates a sense of failure in the person. I can't find a job. I can't get an income. What am I going to do? It creates a sense of hopelessness. And that's why we have the drug problem we have today. Hopelessness. They don't see a way out of this situation. Do you agree?
I do. I think that's a big part of what's going on right now, is if people put themselves in a situation to where they're excluded from participating, then you're never going to get them motivated to participate.
Right. So I want to create a sense of hope. And I want every person to feel that same hope. I don't ever want to see somebody who wants a job not able to find one. So therefore, I would end that discrimination. It's illegal to not hire somebody simply because they don't have an address. Because liberty is lifestyle of choice. Being out on the streets, being nomadic or gypsy or homeless or whatever, is a lifestyle. And some people do choose it. It's not just because they're mentally ill. And that would be another thing. Is I believe that some of these organizations have sold out to Big Pharma. Like often said, I don't believe there's any such thing as mental illness. Because God did not make us with deficiencies. He made us all the same. What caused the deficiency is a trauma. So I would make these mental health organizations start doing more therapy and counseling for trauma instead of immediately prescribing a sickness for that person's behavior. They should do more of an evaluation to find out what traumas they suffered first, to find out where that deficiency came from. Because if you find out where the deficiency came from and you cure the trauma, essentially the deficiency goes away. Correct?
Correct.
Right. So I have PTSD. My PTSD is not caused by a deficiency in my brain. It was caused by trauma. It was caused by trauma that I never dealt with. So therefore, after a while of all this building up, all these feelings and negative emotions and whatever feelings that I never dealt with, after a while it builds up. And it made me a ticking time bomb. It made me a ticking time bomb, literally. I could have hurt somebody. My dad gave me extensive training and a lot of shit. I could have hurt somebody. Badly. And I didn't want to be that person. And so when I started evaluating myself and going through my soul searching, I remembered some things my dad taught me. And that was that I have to be accountable for my own actions. And I started realizing that I was only the way I was because I suffered some traumas that I had dealt with. And I had feelings that I hadn't dealt with or learned to process yet. So as I started dealing with those, the more I dealt with, the better I got. The less I exploded out in public on people. And now you hardly ever see me explode. I mean, I'm pretty quiet. I still do my activism, I still speak up, but I'm quiet. I don't explode. I don't have the rants like I used to. I don't get upset. I'm not mad. So I believe that discrimination is the biggest thing we have to cure about homelessness, is that discrimination. Too many employers are allowed to discriminate and say we're not going to hire you based on your homelessness. And I don't believe that should be able to be done. So in my run for public office, that would be my first thing, is to deal with the homeless issue. And I would start holding some people accountable for the way they're doing things. I would stop these special interest people like Cliff Wade, who have their own 501c3 using the city as a launch for that 501c3, and then using his own best interest to decide who he helps and doesn't. That would not be allowed.
Well, that's the biggest thing going on with these organizations, and why they're not, part of the reason why they're not accountable is because they're picking and choosing.
That's right, and that's the thing. That's why it should be
sitting around. They're just not helping because you're in need. They're picking and choosing.
Well, and that's another thing, you know, even with the Section 8, community housing and development, there, I mean, if somebody doesn't...
And there's grant money that's there, but there's not enough grant money to go around, so they're all having to, all the organizations have to compete against each other.
But see, if now we take that grant money and close down some of them organizations, use the money that we're paying all them employees to build city housing, and then rehire them employees somewhere else. Guess what? That's more money for housing, and that's more housing. We end homelessness right there when we start building housing. Specifically, low-income housing. And make them all city-ran buildings. There's a police in every building. Or you put a police in the fucking department stores, or a police officer, there's a security guard. They didn't shop it. Because that police officer has the authority to detain and arrest the person shoplifting. Stores have no way to deal with a shoplifter. They just have to let them take it. Well, that raises your prices. Now you go into Circle K and you can't buy a fucking soda because they're too expensive. You know what I'm saying? That's disappointing to me. That's like me paying for that shoplifter. I don't like that shit, so I hate shoplifters. I don't deal with them all. I stop them when I see them. I report them. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they say. They can call me whatever they want. I report them. Because it comes back on me no matter what. So, if I did decide to run for public office, would you support that?
Yeah.
Would you think that would be a good idea? You think that'd be a good idea?
Yeah. Now, my question is, who do you think's in public office, or who do you think works for one of these organizations or is part of Section 8 that probably is listening and can put your tools to your ideas to use?
Well, I don't want to put no names out there. I don't want to get them fired. But I know of one person who I know listens to the podcast, and you know her, you know them, and I believe that I've been heard. I've already mentioned it to them. They already know what I'm talking about. It's been said. I've said it. Regardless of this podcast, regardless of my Facebook, I'm listened to. I'm heard. I'm going to call the city tomorrow and find out what's up. I'm going to talk to them, because I believe that if we implement these strategies, homelessness will cease. Except for if they want to be out there. And if they want a job, give them a job. Give them a fucking job. Stop the discrimination. Stop fucking keeping them down by, oh, we can't hire you because you don't have an address. Fuck that. If they want a job, give them a fucking job. If they apply for your job, give them a job. Don't discriminate. Hey, don't worry about their shower. Because there will be community places where they can take a shower. Camp KOA campground. You can take a shower there. But don't not hire a person just because they're homeless. If you have a restaurant and you don't want them working in a restaurant, fine. But there's other jobs they can do. You don't have to have them dealing with the customer. Put them in the back. Hell, most of these places have private bathrooms for employees, correct? Let them go in the employee bathroom and take a bird bath. Help them get on their feet. No matter what you do, help that person get on their feet. And if they want a home, then we fucking, hey, the city should step in and help them find something. But the fact is, nobody should be without a job that wants a job. And for employees to be able to discriminate on the homeless, that's like discriminating on the black community. Oh, we can't hire you because you're black. We can't hire you because you're homeless. We can't hire you because you're Latino. Same thing. Discrimination is discrimination. If we end that, we stop the media bias and the bad stories about homeless and start putting out the real story about the homeless and who they really are and judge them by the individual, not the crowd. Instead of birds of a feather flock together, let it be the individual. If your actions prove you to be a thief, you're a thief. If your actions prove you to be a good person, you should be judged as a good person, not as a thief just because you're homeless. That's the way it works, right? You agree?
Yeah.
Right. So, because, look, if you look at it this way, if we did it the way they do the homeless, category them all as one, they're all bad people. Okay. Well then, people who live in houses or come from the military are all bad people because Timothy McVeigh was in the military and he bombed the Oklahoma City building. Oh, and the police are all bad people because that one that killed that guy here in Tucson, they shot him in the back. All police are bad. It's the same thing. No, that cop was bad. Don't hold all the cops bad for it. Hold that one responsible for his own trigger. Hold that one. There should be no immunity for a public servant. That comes with obeying the law. Why do you even pull his gun on a man in a wheelchair? There's no reason to. He's in a wheelchair. Even Chris Magnus said there was no need for deadly force in that situation.
But he hasn't even stepped up to say that cop should be charged with the crime.
Well, and that's the thing.
He'll fire him, but he won't arrest him.
Right, and you see, that's the problem. There's too much immunity to the law. There's too many exceptions. Oh, if you're a peace officer, you don't have to obey the law. Well, welcome to what it's created. We have a civilization of police officers who think they are above the law. They can do whatever they want, when they want. They have no accountability. There has to be accountability for the actions. They have to suffer consequences just like everyone else, no matter what. If they're caught speeding, they should be given a ticket. If they're given a ticket, they should suffer the same consequences as everybody else. And after so many tickets, they shouldn't be a police officer anymore because they're not an upstanding citizen. Correct?
Correct.
There you go. Accountability. When you introduce accountability into civilization anywhere, no matter what civilization is, when you introduce accountability, you get a civilization that obeys the law. You get a civilization that doesn't discriminate upon a certain class or race of people because of accountability for doing it. You suffer a consequence for your action. America has taken away consequence. Parents can't discipline their kids no more. These kids don't suffer a discipline. That's why they're in grocery stores talking to their parents the way they do. That's why a lot of kids are cursing and acting without consequence. They act out in stores and there's nothing the parents can do about it. Then they grow up. They shoot somebody. And think they're still not accountable. They grow up to rob stores. They grow up to think it's okay because nobody can do nothing to me. Well, welcome to what it's created. You have a lawless society. There has to be a law. There has to be a rule. And there has to be a follower to the rule and the law in order for it to exist. It has to be there. There's always going to be a good and bad to everything we do. But to deal with the bad individually instead of taking one whole group of people and classifying it all as bad because it was that group of people who the person that did bad was. Say, it was homeless people and a homeless person shoplifted. If you count all the homeless people as bad for that one person that stole, you're discriminating on the rest of the people who aren't bad. And you're labeling people who don't deserve a bad label. You got to give everybody an individual chance for the person. And create a consequence for the ones doing bad. There has to be consequence. And it has to actually be a consequence, not a holiday. You can't have a holiday after committing a crime. If you commit murder, you go to prison for the rest of your life. That's a consequence. If you commit, fraud, you go to prison. That's a crime. It's a consequence. Although, sometimes I believe prison is more of a, let's teach them to gather criminals, but I would put some kind of emphasis on the rehabilitation instead of confinement or community confinement, whatever they call that. I would put more of a leaning towards everybody would have to do certain things to get out of prison. Classes or whatever, get a GED, get whatever, but you'd have to do it in order to qualify to get out. And then you'd have to also do some classes for whatever your crime was. I would make it to where it's not such a holiday. You can't learn to be a better criminal in prison by going to prison. I believe that everything should be, anything to do with government funds should be government ran. So if it has to do with government funds, each individual city that receives those government funds should be the ones who run the programs that they give their grants for. I believe that's the way it should be done.
That's what FDR actually did.
Mm-hmm. And it created accountability.
And it created jobs. Mm-hmm. That's why we got the Army of Engineers. That's why we got those people who became Army of Engineers ended up getting jobs as teachers for the next generation.
Yep. So over the next
which created more engineers.
Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be looking into public office. I don't know which position. I think I want to run for mayor. I'm going to run as an independent.
I ran for mayor before.
Did you make it? No?
I got zero votes.
Oh, wow. What was your campaign?
Help the homeless. Give a better deal to the local business owner versus the national owner.
Right? So I think that anybody, I believe that there has to be a mix of international and national business and local. But I also want to run on the fact that I want to create a better, safer environment. Number one, police accountability. Number two, government accountability. I want to get the people involved in the government again. I believe that taxpayers should have some say in our government. There would be no more closed-door City Hall meetings. everything that City Hall does should be accountable to the people. And so it would be. It sure would be. That's about all I got for that. I'll be planning my campaign soon, but I'll be laying it out, and I'll lay it out over the weeks of what I'm going to run on and what office I'll run for. I may just run for a city council office, who knows? But if I run, I'm going to make sure it's planned well. Because if you don't plan it well, it doesn't turn out well. You know? It turns out bad. So, well, I think that's about all we got for this evening, folks. Unless Anthony Potter has something else he wants to mention.
Help us or leave us alone.
That's right. We are people. We are human. We have rights. We are the homeless at large. We are everywhere. Hashtag help us or leave us alone. Good night, everyone. God bless.